You turn, please, in the living word of God to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 22. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 22, please. It is good to be back with you after missing the Lord's Day. It was unfortunate that I had a bit of a coughing bite for just over half an hour or so in the middle of the night. Coming up to the Lord's Day, when I woke up in the morning, I was still coughing on and off. And while it did not satisfy the criteria of having coughed for longer than an hour in any one given period, and therefore qualify as a COVID potentially 19 cough yet, I phoned a colleague and asked for advice, and the advice was simply just to be cautious and to go and get a test and wait for the results of it. And therefore, thankfully, by God's grace, I got the test and all was clear. So someone sent me a text to say they're praying for me. I want to thank you for that. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 22. And we'll commence reading at verse 35. And then one of them, speaking about the Pharisees, which was a lawyer, asked him, that is Christ, the question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And let's just again bow in a word of prayer, and if you have not yet prayed, could I encourage you to pray even at this time, that the Lord would speak to your heart. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, I thank you that thy beloved Son, who is our Lord, he loves us forever, and from him, Father, no guile, indeed no evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. And Lord, by the work of the Spirit, drawing me and each of thy children through faith to Christ, we belong to him. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. We praise you. We thank you for the glorious salvation. Father, if we were to receive what we deserve at this very moment, the ground would open up. And Father, we would drop into hell. Lord, that place of darkness, that place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, that place of utter torments, we would see nothing, would hear only screaming. And Father, we would feel abundant pain without any break, without any relief. Lord, that is what we deserve. Oh, Lord, many times over, more than we can imagine, for the wages of one sin is such death. But Father, I praise thee that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came to this world and humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. And Father, being made in the likeness of man, Lord, he went to that cross having lived a perfect life. He was despised and rejected, and yet, Father, he still went on. He lived a perfect life for us, fulfilled thy law, every jot and tittle of it. And Father, went to the cross and paid the debt in full and shed that precious blood. For Lord, without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission. But I praise thee, Father, in the shedding of such pure and precious blood, Lord, that divine blood, the blood of the God-man, there is remission. And Father, he rose again, now at thy right side and praying for us even tonight. Come, pour out thy blessing. Lord, thou art the one who knows this situation more than I do. And I pray, Father, that you would give a word in season. Come, we cry for thy glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you could turn, please, in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll turn back to Matthew chapter 22, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as you turn to the place, I just want to make two announcements. The first is that, as is mentioned the Lord's Day, there is a rota up. And it will be on the notice board there. And if you are all able to help out with the children's work on a Friday evening from 6:30 through to 7:30, or indeed if you're able to help out in the Sunday school whenever it comes to the hallway and the facilities there, then please put your name down and your help would be greatly appreciated. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the other announcement to make is that members of committee, there will be a very brief meeting of the committee after our meeting tonight. But now in God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just want to read one verse. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Corinthian believers, he declares to them, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. I cannot speak for you, I can only speak for myself, but as not simply the years progress, but perhaps even months progress, I seem to need more and more reminders. I have a relative, and I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, being in her kitchen, and on the wall leading outside there beside the doorway was perhaps about 15, 20 post-it notes. Constant reminders of different things that she was to do, and she told me, whenever I was to get to her age, I'd need reminders again and again and again for almost everything. I am probably only half the age of that relative as I currently am and what she was back then. But even at that, I need reminders for lots of things. I need reminders for certain meetings that I would have. I need reminders to phone to make bookings for various things. I need reminders to get milk or get bread on the way home, to leave things off for somebody if I'm asked to do that. I need reminders for birthdays, even anniversaries. And in fact, the birthday I tend to forget the most is my own, believe it or not. And I need a reminder for car insurance, the tax of the car, basic, important things in life. But just with the busyness of life, just being involved in various things, it's easy just to forget. It's not that I don't care about people's birthdays. It's not that I don't care about taxing my car and various things. I just forget about them. And therefore, how important it is to be reminded of them. Whenever it comes to the busyness of life in the spiritual realm, it comes to work, it comes to family, it comes to the home, it comes to relationships, it comes to chores, it comes to church, it comes to various works that you and I do and that we're involved in. The busyness of life can make us forget some basic and fundamental things. It's easy just to go through the motions, to get up and you have your schedule, you have your plan for the day and to go through it and to forget some of the most basic and fundamental and indeed essential aspects of life. The students' meeting, the students' work, as in the university students' work, their Queen's and Stranmillis is commencing again this week. And speaking with the students, they have asked for a number of subjects to be spoken this incoming term. And one of those subjects is about our purpose in life. Students coming down to Belfast University and to put the question to them, why are they coming down? Is it simply to get a degree? Is it to get a good education, to advance themselves academically? Is it for the social aspects of that? Social distancing, of course, in place. But is it for the social aspects of university? Is it so that they may mature in themselves or even try to discover themselves? Is it just simply for enjoyment? What is their purpose for coming to university? And indeed, therefore, what is our purpose in life? And thinking about that particular subject, the Lord has really impressed it upon my heart for this evening. The most basic and fundamental aspect of life every single day. What is our purpose? Why do we get up? Why do we go to work? Why do we behave the way we behave in our families and the relationships that we have? What is our purpose in it all? Why are we here? Why are we not taken straight to glory? Why are we here? What is our purpose? Because surely if we have a clear in our mind what our purpose is, it will change everything, won't it? It'll direct everything. Just yesterday, somebody shared a story with me. It was on social media. And it was about a young child, a young boy. And he was the son of a minister. And the boy got up in the morning, just as he always did. But this particular morning, he came to his dad and said, "Daddy, I've got my coat on, and I'm all ready." Daddy says, "Ready for what, son?" He says, "Well, Daddy, this is the day we go out and we hand out tracts in the town centre." Daddy says, Son, have you looked outside? It's buckling out there. It's raining. We're not going to go hand out tracts in that weather. Wait till it dries. Maybe go out tomorrow. I've got other things I can do in the rain. Well, the boy is disappointed, and he said, but Daddy, there's people need to hear the gospel. The young boy said, Daddy, do you mind if I go out? Here is by myself, do you mind if I go out? And Daddy said, that's okay. He was of an age that he was able to go out by himself. And said to him, just make sure you have not only your coat on, but you have your hood up. And you go out. So the young boy went out, and he went into the town centre, and he had just a small bundle of tracts, and he handed out the tracts that he could. But everybody that was in the town centre that he could see, he had offered him a tract, and yet he still had one tract left. And so he decided that he would just go down the nearest street, and he would look for the first house. And there he would knock the door and put the tract in to the person that came. And so that's what he did. He went to the street, he went to the house, they went up and they knocked on the door. And he waited. There's no answer. He went to leave the door with the tract and to go to the next house, but just as he left, the story tells us that he actually turned back. Somebody just prompted him to turn back. And he went back and he knocked the door harder. And he waited a little bit more to see if anybody came. Eventually, the lady came down, opened the door and said, Son, how can I help you? The little boy smiling said, I just want to tell you that God loves us. And he sent his son to save us. And there's a little tract and it'll tell you all about it. The lady took the tract, said thank you, and closed the door, and the little boy went on home. He had done his work for the day. The next week, whenever the church that that boy attended, and the father was a minister of, whenever a number of the believers assembled, one of the meetings, the minister decided, perhaps it was just a fellowship meeting, I'm not too sure, but whatever it was, the father decided they would ask a question, say, look, does anybody want to share anything? And there's a lady stood up and she said, this time last week I wasn't a Christian. And in fact, I lost my husband not so long ago. I'm finding life very difficult. I'm finding life very lonely. And no other family, no other friends, nobody else visits me. And one of the days last week, I got to a stage where I began to realize that if I died, nobody would know anything about it. And I went upstairs, and I got a rope, I prepared a noose, and I got a chair, and I stood in that chair, and I put the noose around my neck. And I was just about to put my foot off the chair whenever somebody knocked at the door. And it just made me stop. Who knocks my door? Nobody knocks my door. Well, if it's a salesperson, they'll go away. And I prepared myself to take my foot off the chair again, and the door knock went again, but it was harder. And I thought, I'll just go down and see who it is. Went down, and there the lady said, opened the door, there was a young little boy smiling from ear to ear, and told me that God loved me. And he gave me a little leaflet. And that little leaflet was the details of this church. And I want to say that I read every word of that letter, every word of that tract, and now I'm a child of God. And I have a purpose in life. In the business of life, it's so easy just to get caught up and to go through the motions. But the question comes, why are we here? People say, well, we're here on this earth, we're saved, yes, and we're children of God, and we're here on this earth so that we have opportunity to know the Lord more. That's true. But if God took us straight to glory after he saved us, we'd know the Lord perfectly. I would say, well, we're saved on this earth, and we're kept here for a time, because it means that we can draw closer to the Lord. And that's true. But yet, think about it. If God took us straight to glory after saving us, we'd be so close to the Lord, closer than we'll ever be in this earth. Some people say, well, the Lord saves us and leaves us on this earth for a period of time so that you and I can be sanctified and become more and more pure. And that's true. But if God took us straight to glory, we'd be perfectly sanctified. We'd be glorified. Why does the Lord therefore leave us on this earth? What is the purpose? What is it that you and I can do here on this earth that you and I cannot do in glory? And it's simply to reveal Christ. Why is it Jesus Christ has not yet returned? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 10, 11. Jesus Christ has not returned because he has a people whom he is deceived. And he's not willing that one single one of them will perish. And therefore he is long-suffering even to the world, giving them an opportunity to repent and to believe the gospel. But yet he is withholding his return until every single one of his people see it.
Why is it that you and I are still here today and not taking the glory? Why is it that Christ has not yet returned? For the simple reason that God wants us to reveal Christ, to do something now that we cannot do in glory.
To reveal Christ. In this world today, there are many people who are suffering a variety of forms of depression. I was speaking to just two people recently, and they have been laid off from their jobs. One of them, a very professional engineering job. Another person, maybe not a professional job, but still a good job all the same. Laid off from their jobs. From what I've been told, suicide rates have greatly increased since COVID-19 has hit 6 months ago. There's marital problems, many tragedies. What is our purpose in life? It is to reveal Christ. This evening, I just very want to briefly leave with you this subject that's touched my own heart, and it is a purpose in life. Now, there's different ways that Scripture puts it. For example, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The Apostle Paul says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." What is our purpose in life? It is to do all to the glory of God. If you want to turn back to the previous letter, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And the verse 36. Speaking about the Lord, we read, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." Everything that God has made, everything that God has created, for of him and through him, but notice it is to him, it is for his glory. What does it mean to glorify the Lord? What does it mean to live for his glory? It simply means to show him forth as glorious.
To show forth the Lord as full of majesty and beauty.
In Revelation chapter 4, if you want to turn with me there, Revelation chapter 4, in the verse 11, there the 20 and 4 elders, they fall down before Christ, the Lamb of God, seated there upon his throne in glory. And verse 11, we read that they declare to the Lord, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
Ultimately, you and I here are to glorify God, to show forth the Lord as glorious, full of beauty, full of majesty.
But the question comes, how do we do that? How do we glorify God? Well, if you turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. It's not my anticipation this evening that I'm likely to show you anything new, but yet this subject has come with a freshness to my heart. I need reminded of things, and perhaps it is the case with you tonight too. Much involved with business of life, routine and work, children, schedules, and everything else. Why do we do it all? What's our purpose in it all? To show forth Christ as glorious. But how do we do that? Well, Matthew chapter 22, the question is asked in verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 37, Jesus Christ said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Before you get to anything else, before you get to loving your neighbor, before you get to helping them and showing mercy to them, before you get to any of that, you are to love God. Notice at me, you're to love God with every part of your being. Love God with your mind. Love God with your strength. Love God with your soul. Love God with your very heart. Love God with everything. Or to put it simply in another way, you are to be consumed with God. To be consumed with Christ. And only when you're consumed with Christ, then can you be a witness to anybody else. I remember being in a youth council training trip a number of years ago. Reverend David Brown, who is the current president of the youth council, I remember him speaking to the young people at the time, and there I was sitting in the pew along with everybody else. And he was saying that whenever it comes to church services, you know, it's very easy for a minister to turn around and say, you know, children of God, there's maybe unbelievers in this meeting, and therefore sing well before them. And it's very easy for that to be the case, and you want to be a witness of somebody else, and it's good to be a witness. But how will you and I ever be the best witness? Getting our eyes on the Lord as we sing. Thinking upon Him and the truth of the gospel as we sing it. And being consumed with Christ, focusing on Christ, loving Christ and praising Christ. What a witness that will be then to anybody else. What is our purpose in life? To show forth the Lord as glorious, worthy of everything. How do we ever do that? We love Him. Be consumed with Him, every part of us. Let me ask the question, well, how are we filled with love? How are we filled with love? We can't work it up. You just can't build up an emotion. How are we filled with love? You turn to me now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You know, our flesh wrestles, seeks to hinder us, stop us in love for God, being consumed with God. What's the answer? How do we love God? How do we be consumed with God? And therefore in every aspect of life show forth Christ is glorious. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul will go on to say in this letter in verse 17 about how the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary the one to the other. But notice with me verse 16 what the answer is. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at that phrase, walk in the spirit. Now, whenever someone's walking, every part of you is going one direction. You know, if I'm walking, my head, I can look that way, but my head's not going that direction, it's going this way. My hand's going this way, my feet are going this way, my shoulders are going this way. Whenever you're walking, every part of you is going one direction. So you and I are to go in one direction, every part of us. But what is that direction? Here comes the second part of the phrase, walk in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What direction is the Spirit of God going? The Holy Spirit of God. Will you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John, the chapter 16. The Holy Spirit is the one who's inspired the living Word that we have in front of us, the Word of God. What is it, the Word of God, by the Spirit of God? How does it direct us? John chapter 16. We commence reading at verse 13. Jesus Christ speaks about how the Spirit of truth is come. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. But notice verse 14. He shall glorify Me. How can you and I love Christ, be consumed with Christ? We may therefore, in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, in every aspect, seek to show forth Christ. How can you and I be inspired and motivated to do that? The answer is to walk in the Spirit. As you and I come to the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, as you and I read it, the Spirit of God will show you and I things and will glorify Christ before us. Will lift up Christ before us. Will show forth Christ to us as beautiful and majestic and wonderful. What is our purpose in life? It is to glorify God. How do we do that? Very simply, you and I spend time in God's Word. You and I cry for the Spirit of God to open up our eyes to show us wonderful things out of His law. To show us Christ. I wonder, when was the last time you read God's Word and actually cried, Lord, show me Christ in it? When was the last time after you finished reading God's Word, you actually paused and stopped and said, what does this teach me about Christ? When was the last time you were so thrilled in your heart that you are consumed with Christ. You see, you and I are to spend time in the Word of God, that the Spirit of God would glorify Christ before our very eyes. And being consumed with Christ and filled with love for Him who has first loved us, you and I then in every aspect of life are to show forth the beauties of Christ. You may ask the question, preacher, how can I show forth the beauties of Christ? How can I glorify Christ? You know, I'm happy to spend time in God's Word. I'm happy to ask and plead for the Spirit of God to show me and glorify Christ right before me. But all through faith, I understand I have to get to that point where I'm consumed with Christ. But getting to that point, how do I glorify Christ in my life? How do I show forth Christ and reveal Christ? That's why I'm here. How can I do that? Well, I leave with you two ways. First of all, you speak. You speak of Christ. There's your lips. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, you and I read about the persecution that occurs through Saul of Tarsus. He goes throughout the Judea and Samaria. And he scatters the people of God, through his persecution. In verse 4, you and I read, "The day that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." He went everywhere preaching Christ. How can you and I make much of Christ? We speak of Him. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Apostle Paul gives us directions. Verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That is, no unwholesome communication. Anything that is spiritually unhealthy. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Or, one other passage, you want to turn with me, please, to it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All familiar passages, just seeking to tie it together tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You see, you and I, in all that we are to do, we're to show forth Christ. I'm not saying you have to mention Christ in every sentence. I'm not saying you have to mention Christ in every paragraph. Or indeed in every single conversation you have whenever you're talking about the weather, whatever it may be. But yet in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you and I read the clear directions from God through his servant Moses to the collective people of God. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, those who are called by my name. The Lord our God is one Lord." Verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." We've seen that already. Now verse 7, being consumed with Christ, what do you do? Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." How do you and I glorify Christ, make much of Christ, shown forth as majestic, beautiful, and wonderful? We speak of Christ. The context here, of course, is of a family, parents and children. But the same principle applies to other aspects of life. When thou sittest in thine house, whenever it comes to the dinner table, I wonder, is there ever a talk of Christ? Whenever it comes to the dinner table there in the Lord's Day, is there ever talk of Christ as He is revealed there in the Lord's Day morning message? When thou sittest in thine house. When thou walkest by the way. Walking is the idea of travelling. I remember whenever I was younger, and as my mum would have taken my brother and I on our way to school, we would have had a little devotional book and would have went through that in the way. And we'll talk a little bit about that afterwards. When you're travelling. Of course, nothing wrong with listening to the radio and all the rest of it, but I wonder, if we were on a journey and we're with others, whether it be our spouse, whether it be with a friend, whether it be with children, whatever it may be, do we ever take time in any of the journeys to stop and to speak of Christ? When you're sitting in your house, whenever you're going by the way, whenever you go to lie down at night, is there ever a speaking forth of Christ? This is the duty of every one of us. No matter what age you are, no matter what age your children, if you have children, no matter whatever age they are, I wonder, I speak to myself here, do we show forth Christ? That's why we're here. God could just take us straight to glory, but he hasn't, because he has a purpose for us here to reveal Christ. Do at any time, of any day, of any week, seek to show forth Christ. We can get so caught up in schedules and plans, and many of them can be good and right and everything else. I'm not denying that. Even works within the church. All good and right, but yet, what's the purpose of it all? Why do it? We may reveal Christ. Do you and I need to be reminded tonight? It is our purpose in life. Fundamental of it all, reveal Christ. Be consumed with him. Spend time with him in his word. See him by faith. Be consumed with him. Be filled with a love for him. That everything we do, everything we say. And of course, this is simple, isn't it? Doesn't mean it's easy. I don't have a TV at home, but I have YouTube on the phone. And there's little things, wee clips I'd see every now and again, and I find them quite funny. It's called Ninja Warrior. And the idea is that you have little obstacles, and it's a simple idea. They have to get from point A to point B, but there's lots of obstacles on the way, and they're being trying to, little things try and hit them and knock them into water and everything else. So it's a very simple idea, get from A, get to B, but doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's easy. This is simple. See Christ. Love Christ. Speak of Christ. Doesn't mean it's easy. May you and I cry, Lord, give me grace. Whenever I come to conversations with whatever, whoever they may be, work, at home, university, the children, parents, Lord, give me help to speak of Christ. That's one way that we seek to glorify and reveal the Lord, is by speaking of Christ. Ours, our lips. But of course, there's our lives as well, isn't there? There's the showing of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, speaking to believers, says in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy," that is, a set-apart nation, "a peculiar people, a precious people." Why? Why are we called? Why are we set apart? Why are we saved? Why are we precious? That, here's the purpose. Ye should show forth the praises, the excellencies, the virtues, the beauties of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. You now to show forth Christ. If you turn to me, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Spend a minute or two just in this passage. Matthew chapter 5, again, well-known verses. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, Christ declaring the gospel there through the Beatitudes in verses 1 to 12. He goes on in verse 13 to say to those who are saved, those who are in the kingdom of God, that ye are the salt of the earth. He goes on to say then in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. It doesn't say that they may hear your good words. We know where to speak. How shall they hear without a preacher? But note that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember listening to a preacher on this passage, and he highlighted three very simple things out of it, and I just mentioned them to you, really state them. Whenever we are told in verse 14 that Christ declares to those who are his people, ye are the light of the world, you see, first of all, the problem that's in this world. There's no light. That's the problem in the world. They're in darkness. Darkness. Not that they're in with a little bit of light in them. No, they're in darkness. Complete and utter darkness. There's no light there at all in the hearts of men and women born in sin, shaped in iniquity. None. Darkness. Complete and utter darkness. No light shining at all. In the depravity of natures. Someone as wise as he said, the heart of the problem is the heart. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things. Doesn't want God. Romans chapter 1 wants to suppress God, the reality of God, His authority in their lives. Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or indeed no God for me. Always suppressing the truth. That's the problem. No light there. Verse 14, yea, the light of the world shows not only the problem that there is in the world, but shows us indeed what you and I are. Christ does not say to those of us who are saved that you can be the light of the world, or even that you should be the light of the world. He declares you are the light of the world. Now, that title, the light of the world, refers to one person, doesn't it? John chapter 8, who is the light of the world? It's Christ. He is the one light of this world. Now, if you turn your page to John chapter 17, I want to show you something. John chapter 17, this is Christ's prayer before he goes to the cross. Verse 20, Christ came to the Father and says, neither pray I for these alone, but the apostles, disciples. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe in me through the word, that they all may be one as thy Father art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that I have sent them. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Then anyone, even as we are, will. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. In John chapter 1, verse 14, you and I are told about Jesus Christ as he came into this world. He was full of glory of the Father. What is the glory of the Father? That he was full of grace and of truth. And when I just to seek to get this picture into our heads, Christ says in Matthew 5, if you get people, you are the light of this world. There's no other light in this world but you. Now know, there's one light in this world, that's Christ. Christ is no longer in this world in body form. He is the glory. But notice with me, he has put his glory in us, filled us with his spirit, that we may show forth Christ, his light in this world. Imagine a bit of glass. And there is him pointing, focused on the sun. And there as the sun shines its rays, it hits the glass and it refracts it and points it in one direction. You and I are like that glass. We are to have our eyes on Christ, to be consumed with Christ, filled with love for Christ, being filled with the love for him. Become like him, that we may, like that piece of glass, refract and show forth Christ to this world. Why? And then they see the good works and glorify, exalt, and lift up the God who is the Father. Remember, what's the problem in this world? Yes, the darkness. What is that problem? It's the heart. What is the heart problem? They don't want God. What are we doing? Denying that God is real. Whether it's any God, or the God of the Bible, or the God of Scripture, or the Christian God, as we read here in the Word of God. They don't want that God. They don't want Scripture. They don't want his authority. And this is the kingdom of suppressing and saying, no gods. But yet, as Christ has seen in our lives, what is the Spirit of God that shows them that there is a God? You see, Matthew 5 set in the context of the Beatitudes. Whenever we did this story in the Beatitudes, the words that he used many months ago, we saw that every single woman shows forth the attitude and the character of a child of God. And you and I show forth that character, and one who's pure in spirit, nothing in themselves. One who knows that it's sin, sees it as absolute wickedness, what is meaning? Seeing that God loves them. Because they are seeing their nothing and their pure in spirit like a beggar, they will let their hands give their sin. The same thing with the healers. And meekness, they say, Lord, all I have belongs to you. Strength for God, that's what weakness is. They now hunger and thirst after righteousness. Their pure heart is single-minded hearts. What we wonder at. Peace me. Bring the truth to me. You see,
the wicked in this world, they want to deny that God is real, but the God of the Bible is in it far better. But when they see your good works and they see Christ in you, God by the Spirit can show them and open up their eyes that God is real. How can people do these things and be me and mourn over wickedness and hunger and thirst after righteousness? I can have a peace in the kingdom of God because of Christ. You see, our identity is that we are the light of this world because Christ is us. If you and I are not consumed with Christ, if I'm not consumed with Christ, if I don't spend time in His Word, if I'm not revived in my heart, the Bible's not something that happens once every 150 years. The Bible in the heart of the believers should happen every day. We're not reliable now. We're soon with Christ. We go out with our daily routines and our schedules and our works and our busyness and everything. Talk of Christ in a way. Show forth Christ by the way. Like that mass, refract Christ to those who see it. We're not fulfilling a purpose over here. But as we do, you and I are fulfilling our calling to let our light so shine before you. So often we need to remind you of the greatest things in life. Surely, we need to remind us. Our eyes are shut on. See Christ as we love Christ. Be consumed and living. Wherever we are, wherever we live, we take Christ. By your likeness to Him, and by what you're going to say of Him. Let me just include the three applications. Being reminded of our purpose in life that will bring a clarity. Clarity of what we are aiming for. As I said, life is very busy. In the home, in work or school, in church, you're very busy. But yet, it gives you clarity, doesn't it? Why am I here? Whenever I'm in the children's meeting, whenever I'm in Sunday school, whenever I'm in the Lord's day, whenever I'm there going with the children, whenever I'm there in school, whenever I'm there in work, whatever it is that I'm doing, what is my purpose? It's to be Christ. Brings a clarity. What we are aiming for. Brings a comfort, secondly. So easy to get discouraged. Brothers are discouraged. Imagine I can feel that we're useless because we're doing nothing. Think we're doing anything. Oh, other people, other servants of God, all they're doing great wonderful things. We're not doing anything. Being discouraged that we're worthless, we can do nothing. All the people who have talents and abilities and opportunities that I can do. You and I can all agree. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. We're taught as illustrations of the light of the word, yeah, but it's of a city set on a hill. You know, God set you on a hill. You may have a valley. I don't know where your eyes are, God knows where your eyes are. But there you shall be hidden. Why? Because wherever you God has placed you in your work, in your school, in your home, in your neighborhood, God has set you there because you can shine the most there. You can do so. You can repeat this. You're not useless. You're not worthless. God has you here for that. This truth of our purpose tonight brings a clarity, it brings a comfort, and it brings a challenge. Because we're going to put it into practice. We'll see more of this the Lord's Day morning, hopefully. You and I will put what we hear and what we see in God's Word into practice. You know, there's pleasure in this world. There can be popularity in this world. There can be position in this world. There can be praise from this world. There can be prosperity. And all these things. Not wrong about themselves. Wrong at all. But yet, in any of these things are hindering us from being Christ. We're united. We're old and listening. Christ says, you love your family, husband, your wife. me. You know, the reality is that you and I, by comparing these things to Christ, we're hopeless. By comparison, Christ is here. What we say, we talk about other things, but here we go. Whatever we say is to show forth Christ. To lead to more Christ. I wonder if we can swim with him tonight. Do we see him as our clear purpose in every moment of every day? And where do we realize? Or are we too involved and too busy? We need to be reminded. Even when it comes to the Lord's Day service, I speak to myself. Where to get other people to come to see Christ? When was the last time you invited somebody out to hear God? When was the last time you brought somebody out to hear God? Where do we realize? And we know from what we have seen in Scripture that there in public worship, Christ is more glorified. Show more of his glories, more of him, more clear than anyone else. When was the last time you ever brought him out to public worship? When was the last time you ever invited him? May you and I be consumed with Christ. Might that be our prayer for ourselves and all of us. Let us come to see you.